Good to see everyone here this morning that is here. There are several that are out of town. We mentioned in Bible study this morning, Hal and Carol are in Washington, D.C. Francis is out of town as well. Sonny and Joe are in Springdale, Arkansas, worshiping this morning. But good to see everyone here. We do have visitors also. Thank you for being here. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to let us hear from you. We would like to sit down and study the Scriptures. If you have a Bible question, let us know about that. We have open hearts and open minds to whatever God says. And if we're wrong, we want to know it. We want to follow what the Scriptures teach in all things. We're going to continue this idea of decision making this morning. I started this 3 weeks ago, and I did not mean to make a series out of it. No intention of that whatsoever. But as I got going with this, last week we talked about the need to make decisions wisely and how do you go about doing that. And, we didn't really talk about anything particular last week, so we're going to get into some particular situations and circumstances this morning. And let's apply what we've learned. There is a choice you have to make in everything you do, and you must always keep in mind the choice you make makes you. Our decisions have far-reaching consequences. In our first lesson, we talked about how decisions determine destiny. And we must choose. We're either going to choose the right way or we're going to choose the wrong way. If we do not choose the right way, the one way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. If we do not choose the right way, we will by default choose the wrong way. And we have an attitude to choose. We choose how we perceive the world, how we perceive God, how we perceive one another. Our attitude is going to be either godly or it is by default going to be ungodly. But we make the choice. Are we going to allow God to develop us and help us to grow in the Christ-like attitude that we need? Or obedience or rebellion. Either we obey what God says by doing what He says without adding to it or taking away from it. We either are going to obey Him or are we going to rebel against Him. One of the two. If we do not obey Him, then we are in rebellion. So, decisions determine destiny. And we last week talked about some things that are necessary to make right decisions in everyday living. We are going to need these things. Number one, we're going to have purpose. We're going to commit to it. Commit to God. Commit to making right choices. We're going to have to commit to the truth. We're going to have to respect God. If we don't have proper respect for Him, then we're not going to make right decisions because I don't care what God says. I know what I want to do. So we must have proper respect for God. If we have the proper respect, as Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we fear God properly, then we will seek His knowledge. We will learn from Him, and that equips us then to make right decisions. And something else we have to have is faith. We have to trust that God's way is the right way. We have to believe and trust God's promises. Like Abraham, like Noah, like Moses. We have to have the right kind of faith and also preparation. We pointed out also last week that the decisions that we are called upon to make today are often influenced by the choices that we made back yonder at some point in time in our past. And so what we need to do is continue and start young as possible, making the right decisions and applying the other principles. Decide and commit and determine to worship and serve God, respect Him and learn of Him and trust Him. And that is going to continually prepare you to make wise decisions in the future. Okay, so that's where we've been. This morning I want to pick up and talk about the need to make wise decisions and then let's apply some of these principles in certain situations. What are your priorities in life? What's most important to you? If you noticed in the bulletin this morning, there was an article about the cell phone or the Bible. Did you see that? The cell phone or the Bible? If we leave our Bible at home, we're going to turn around and go back and get it.
What value do we place on the Bible? What are our priorities in life? Our decision to follow God or not affects every other decision in our life. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you, Jesus says. If we have that priority, then our decision-making process is going to be affected by that. Mark 12, verses 29 through 31. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first and great commandment, Jesus said. Now, friend, if that is your priority, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm going to tell you right now, that will affect every decision that you make in life. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul there writing, and he is praying that the brethren in Colossae be strengthened in all might and all wisdom. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease in prayer for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Is that your aim in life, to fully please God? One of the questions that we asked a couple of weeks ago regarding a particular decision is this: will this please God? Very simple. So if God is our number one priority, pleasing and serving Him, then everything else will fall into place. Wise decision making is in direct correlation to the degree in which we respect, love, and trust God and understand His will. Isn't that true? Understand, friend, we're all growing each and every day. We are heading in a direction. The question is, which direction are we heading in? Are we getting closer and closer to God in our daily growth? Are we growing in respect and love and trust and understanding of His will? Well, the more we grow, the better equipped we will be to make wise decisions. So let's set the priority. Let's set the bar high. Let's set our priorities upon serving and pleasing God. Let's fear and respect Him like we should. Let's trust Him with all of our heart. Let's love Him with all that we have. And let's do the right things in life. Let's serve Him. In Proverbs chapter 4, the wise man says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, we often define wisdom this way: taking factual knowledge that we have in our brain and then translating that into practical application in life. And that's right. That's what wisdom is. But it even goes further than that. I mean, it's deeper than that. Wisdom is being able to take the knowledge that we have to apply it to certain real life situations, but not only for today, but also see the consequences of those things down the road. And we stop and we think about what's going to be the consequence of this action down the road. We think about what God thinks about. I mean, this is all wisdom. Applying these principles to our daily life so that good will come. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, he says. And in all you're getting, get understanding. How important, how essential are these things? He goes on, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. The result or the consequence of wisdom is it's going to make your life better. C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, he says, cars are not made to run on water. You put water in a gas tank of a car, it will mess up the engine. Friend, we are not made to run on sin. You put sin in your life, it's going to mess up your engine. It will corrupt you, it will ruin you, it will destroy you. So wisdom. You want to know what it takes to live a long, happy, peaceful life? Serve the Lord. Follow His way. Make wise decisions. Apply His truth, His teaching to your life. He goes on, Proverbs 4, verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you walk, when you follow the Lord's instruction, then your way will not be hindered. God's not going to put stumbling blocks in front of you. He's not going to cause you to fall. Now, Satan's going to try to get you to fall, but God is going to give you what you need to overcome that, and so that you can stand. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Making wise decisions. Have we set our priorities in order correctly? I guess that's the most important decision. Choose God. Choose to follow and serve Him. Choose the right attitude. And choose to obey Him. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Solomon writes, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day." Do you follow what Solomon's saying here? Okay, we allow the Word of God's light to shine into our hearts. What is the consequence of that? Well, it is going to cause us to grow and become brighter and brighter as days go by until we reach that state of perfection, that is maturity that God expects of us. And here you have a contrast between the one who receives God's instructions with the one in verse 19. The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We need to receive what God has to say so that we can shine ever brighter into that perfect day. Or, if we don't, we will stumble and we won't even know why. So, okay. Let's make some wise decisions. I want to ask a question here. Will I commit sin? Sin is avoidable according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There is no temptation that has taken you but such as is common to man. For God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Sin is avoidable. Now, I understand that all have sinned, Romans 3:23. All have come short of the glory of God. I understand that. And the Bible even says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But He goes on and says, those who say they haven't sinned, they're lying. We've all sinned. We understand that. And sin is always potentially at the door. But which particular sin do I have to commit? None. In fact, which sin do I have to commit? None. I don't have to sin. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, 1 through 13, Eve had a choice. Here Satan comes along, tempts her to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She looks at the fruit, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's all there present. And Eve makes the wrong choice. The consequences of that choice, we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, death passed upon all men because all have sinned. But the consequence of Adam's sin continued to affect other people. His influence carried on and still carries on today. We're not born with a sinful nature or inherited depravity. But Satan working through Adam and Eve brought sin and the influence of sin into the world, and it is present. And Adam's influence continues on. Just like Christ in the context of Romans chapter 5, Christ's influence continues on. They had a choice. Eve made the wrong one. And then the very next chapter we read of Cain and Abel. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn back in the Old Testament to Genesis chapter 4. And notice here, Cain had a choice.
Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said, Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And it's desirous for you, but you should rule over it. Now there's Cain. Now we know that he didn't rule over it. He went on, became angry, killed his brother. But he had a choice. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we know that Abel, even though he is dead, yet speaks by faith. Here we have an example of worship. We have Abel and Cain, both worshiping God, one in the right way, one in the wrong way. One by faith, one doing what he wanted to do. The same thing, in principle, applies to us. Are we worshiping God the way God has said? Or are we worshiping God the way we want to? For our own pleasure and enjoyment and just having a good time? Or are we actually looking into God's Word to find out how? That's the worship of faith. But they both made a choice. Abel made a wise choice. Cain did not. And then another great Old Testament example. Young people, you listen to me, okay? You listen. Joseph was a young man, thousands of miles from home. His mother had passed away. His dad was not there anywhere close to him. He was thousands of miles away in a wicked environment. And here he is tempted. Tempted by Potiphar's wife to lie with him, committing adultery. And here we have a young man, still in his teens, standing up for what is right. Joseph, as we look in verse 7, it says, And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, he feared God. He respected God. He trusted God. He wasn't going to sin against God. He made up his mind. In fact, you go on in verse 10, So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Most people would wear down after a while. Their faith isn't strong enough to keep them going and persevering through temptation day after day. But Joseph was. Joseph kept on resisting her plea. In fact, eventually when she did grab a hold of him in verse 12, he fled and ran outside. He fled outside, verse 13. He ran away. Friend, that's what we need to do with temptation. We need to run and get away from it. Will I commit sin? Let's make wise decisions. Don't put yourself in situations, young people, where you're going to be tempted to commit sexual sin. Don't go close to them. Okay? Stay away. Let's make a commitment that we're going to do what's right. And Moses is yet another example in Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Oh, this time we know that Moses struck a rock instead of speaking to it. Earlier he was told to speak to a rock. Strike a rock. He struck it. This time he's told to speak to the rock, but he struck it. And God says, because you did not believe me. So at this point in Moses' life, he lacked faith. He lacked trusting a commandment of God.
But we also read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, of his faith and how he trusted God. And he made the wise decision to forego the pleasures and passing pleasures of sin. And then we read of David. What do we make of David? David is spoken of as a man after God's own heart. Yet we also read of him as committing adultery and murder. He planned the murder of the husband of a wife that he had had an affair with. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. First of all, David put himself in a position to sin because when the time had come that the king should have been out to war, where was David? He was back at home taking it easy, looking out his window, watching this woman bathe. He desired her. He called for her. He lay with her. She became pregnant. Then he had her husband killed. What about David? Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1 through 12, we read of him. He made this nice fancy ox cart to transport the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And as it was on its way to Jerusalem, the oxen stumbled, the ark was shaken, Uzzah puts forth his hand, and Uzzah is stricken dead. You go over to chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, and you find out that David there had done a little research, and he figured out we did not do it according to the due order the first time, and because of that, God broke out against us. So David learned a very valuable lesson. We must follow what God says. When we do not follow what God says, we commit sin. Also, going back to David's adultery, what was his response as you get into chapter 12? When Nathan comes to him and says, "Thou art the man," David repented. In fact, read Psalm 51 and you'll see David's heart felt pain over what he had done after he realized it. So we have a man that sinned, absolutely, but he also had a heart that turned away from sin to do what was right because he trusted, feared, and loved God. He made bad choices. And by the way, he paid dearly for his bad choices. You go back and you read what happened to his sons, to his daughter, to his own throne. David had a hard, hard life because of his sin. God told him that he would, and he did. Consequences sometimes follow us throughout the rest of our life. Even though we may be right with God, we may come back to Him, we still may face the physical consequences of our sin. But then we have the example of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus is tempted by Satan after He is led up into the wilderness, turn the stone into bread, jump off the temple pinnacle, taken up to a high peak and shown all the kingdoms of the world, and Satan says, "I'll give all of them to you." All of these temptations, Jesus continually said what we could say today. It is written. Every time Satan brings a temptation up in our life, we can say, "Oh, wait a minute. That's not what God wants me to do because it's written. I shouldn't do that." We need to know what God says. See, there's the importance of knowledge of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus is our great example of how to overcome sin, how to resist sin, how to say no. We need to learn how to say no to sin. Sin is avoidable. So, making wise decisions. Number one, am I going to commit sin? Friend, I hope that we make the commitment and be more like Joseph or be more like Daniel in Daniel 1 and verse 8 as he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meats. Now, here are some more important decisions that I want us to think about. Who will be your role model or who is your role model today? Is your role model some actor, some musician, some athlete, some author, some teacher. Who is your role model? Young people, they like to be like somebody. We're always looking up to somebody else. Got a message from my nephew this past week. And he's going to college at Arkansas State. And he wrote an article thanking all the people in his life that had helped him and encouraged him to be the person that he is. And I appreciated that letter, and it showed a great deal of maturity on his part. He's grown up a lot from the young man that I knew and that I've been around. And I was very impressed and encouraged. And one of the things that impressed upon me by that was sometimes we don't even know what kind of influence we're having on somebody else. We have no idea. Michael, you saw it. He mentioned Michael. He mentioned Brandon. He mentioned a lot of people in his life. And he really looked up to Brandon. He wanted to play the drums like Brandon. He wanted to be like Michael. So you never know who you are influencing. Young people, somebody's watching you. Older people, somebody's watching you. Everybody, somebody's watching you. And what influence are you having upon them? Do we want to be like some musician? Some athlete, some author, some teacher? Well, friend, listen. Here's our role model. Is your role model Jesus? Is he? Is that your role model? Is that who you really want to be like? Well, friend, if it's not, you need to go back to that priority thing and we need to think about it. What are your priorities? Friend, you need to be like Jesus. We have been created anew and we are being transformed into the image of Christ. And if He's not our role model, then we've got a problem. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul there says, imitate me. He didn't stop there, though. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And if there's any point in which Paul did not imitate Christ, then we don't imitate Paul in that point. We need to imitate Jesus Christ. And friend, if you're following somebody, you make sure they're following Jesus Christ. Remember the story about the fellow that came into a graveyard and he came up on a tombstone and it said, hope that you follow me. The fellow said, well, before I start following you, I need to know which way you went. And that's true. We need to make sure of the direction we're going. Follow Jesus Christ. And you won't go, you can't go wrong. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, take up your cross and follow me. Then he also pointed out, if we lose our soul, if we gain the whole world but yet lose our own soul, what have we gained or what have we profited in that? So we need to follow Jesus and put spiritual things first. Who will be my friend? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good morals. Our friends do affect us, and it's sad, but it is also true that most of the time, the wicked influences the righteous to become wicked instead of the other way around. We certainly need to get out and preach the gospel and be a good influence, and we need to have friends whom we can influence and encourage to become Christians. But our best friends should be members of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes that point, that we are to associate, Romans chapter 14, we're to associate with those of our own, with brethren. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, the proverb writer says this, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. We need to be careful who our friends are. Who our friends are says a lot about who we are. Let's associate with people who are godly, who have godly attitudes. Let's do our best to be around people that will encourage us to be better, not encourage us to be worse. Let's be around people that will lift us up and not tear us down. You go over into Proverbs 30 and verse 20, the same point, or 13, I'm sorry, verse 20, the same point is made very clearly. He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Well, which group do you want to be in? Who will be my spouse? There is not a more serious decision outside of deciding to serve and follow Jesus Christ. There is not a more serious decision that we will ever be called to make. It can be good for you, or it can be bad. You have to choose. Now, let me also clarify something. Sometimes we may have all the right questions, and we may check all the right boxes, and we may think that we found the one, but it just doesn't work, because here's a fact of life. People change. People can be changed because they have the wrong kind of friends. As adults, that doesn't just apply for children, young people. It applies for everybody. You can be changed and you can be led away from the truth. People change. So I'm going to say something about this when it comes to choosing a spouse. You can make the wise decision at the time because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. There is that possibility. However, at the same time, do not enter into a marriage with someone that does not fear, does not love, does not trust God. Don't do it. Because they're not going to change after you get married to them. Most of the time. Well, people can change in that direction too. But usually, what happens? It's a very serious, serious choice. Why is it so serious? Well, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9, I think makes it very clear to us why it's a serious choice. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. When you are married, friend, you're married. That's the way it is. That is the rule. That is the law of God. That's the way He intends it to be. Whether 15, 20, 30 years later you fall out of love or not, you're still married. Now in verse 9, he does say, whosoever puts away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her that is put away doth commit adultery. There is that one exception. But friend, I think that is a very tight, very narrow, very restricted exception. I don't think the Lord is saying there that if somebody just goes out and makes a mistake one night or one day, that all of a sudden now, I don't want them anyway. You can just throw them away like an old dirty paper towel. I don't think that's what that's saying. My spouse is to be my spouse for the rest of my life. That's God's intent. That's God's law. That's the rule, with one exception. Who will your choice be? You better make a wise choice. The best you can. Now, here is something else. Listen, I understand when it comes to my friends and my spouse, I can't see in the future. I don't know. God can, but I can't. You can't either. So we have to make as wise a choice as we possibly can. Another question. Where will I go to school? Young people who are considering college, and we have some who have gone off to college and aren't here this morning, but some who are considering going to college next year. Think about this. Where will you go to school? There are some schools, in fact, a lot of schools today, are known for their godlessness. They are known for the kind of teachers, the professors that are there. They are recognized as being atheistic. They are recognized as being anti-religion. And the students there are intellectuals. They want to they want to do and advance that which is ungodly in our country. There are schools that are in that mold. Friend, please, think seriously about the school that you go to. And I will say this too. Even if you were to choose Florida College or somewhere that you know that teachers are going to primarily, fundamentally be sound and lead you in the right way, you're still going to run into problems. Understand that. You're going to have problems probably wherever it is you go. But at the same time, let's be wise and let's think about that. Let's think about the kind of school. And will it be a place that will be more of an encouragement, or will it be a place that offers more temptation? That is more important than the standard of academic excellence that they report. Also, we need to make sure there's a church close by. There's a church where we can have and find the support that we need. Where will I live or where will I work? Well, I need to find a place where there is plenty of spiritual support for me. Genesis 13:5-11, Lot. The land was not able to support both Abraham and Lot, so Abraham approaches Lot and he says, "You choose." And Lot looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and he made his choice and pitched his tent toward Sodom. What was the result of that choice? His wife turned into a pillar of salt. His two daughters committing incest. And I think it is implied also that there were other daughters that were left behind in Sodom and Gomorrah because he had sons-in-laws that he went to talk to. His daughters were in his house. But he went and visited with sons-in-laws and they thought that he was joking. So more than likely he had other daughters there as well. We need to find places where there is spiritual support. We also know that Sodom vexed Lot's soul day after day. It was not easy for him to live there. People, and some of you perhaps have lived in ungodly cities, ungodly environments, and you have realized that. Have you ever been to Las Vegas? I've never been to Las Vegas. But from what I hear and understand is that Las Vegas is just a flat-out nasty, dirty place. And when you enter into the city, it says, you know, sin. It's known as Sin City for a reason, you know. Is that a good place to raise a family? I know there are people that do it. I know that there are Christians there. I know there's a sound church there. But you know it's got to be hard working and living in that city as a child of God. Or up north. A friend of mine, Brother Matt Allen, was preaching up in South Dakota several years ago. And he often talked about how, you know, the closest sound church was 500 miles from where he had established one small, tiny church there in South Dakota. It's hard work. It's hard to live without that spiritual support. When it comes to work, how many hours am I going to have to work? What about my travel? Am I going to be gone a lot? What about people that I'm going to be working with? Are they godly, ungodly? What kind of people? Stability. Is this something that I'm going to be kind of, I'm going to be there. I can count on it. Or is it something that's real shaky and I'm going to be moving around, moving my family from place to place? Or money, is it going to be enough to support me? Or maybe the money is really good, so I'm going to go ahead and sacrifice the hours and travel and the people and the stability to make the money and forget about my family. Forget about their needs. Where will I live and work? These are some important decisions. Of course, the first one, of course, choosing God. If I choose God, if I choose to follow the Lord, and I commit to that, I follow that, I trust Him, I love Him, then I'm going to listen to everything that He has to say, and I'm going to do my best to understand the biblical principles whereby to make wise decisions that I may have a life of peace and length and happiness. And I'm going to extend those principles to my everyday life. I'm just not going to know them. I'm going to apply them to my life. I'm going to ask the right questions when a decision has to be made. I'm going to consider what God's will is in this. Is this pleasing to God? And you know, earlier, will you commit sin? That depends sometimes on whether or not we have made wise choices. I think there's a difference. That's always unwise to commit sin, okay? But there are things that are right in and of themselves that it just flat out is unwise to do because they put you in a position of temptation. So we need to be careful and make wise choices that will prevent us from getting ourselves into trouble. We listen to what God has to say, and we extend His teaching to our everyday life. And of course, the end of that, the result is true joy, happiness, peace, and eternal life. Friend, is that what you want in life? Is that what you're looking for? Are you seeking to please God and to live with Him forever and ever? I'm going to close the lesson this morning with a sad note. There are those who do not make wise decisions in their life. They live in this world as God describes a fool. In Proverbs 1 and verse 22, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." See, God's offering, God's imploring, God's pleading, "Hear my words. Receive my words. Follow my words." But verse 24 says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me." Even the fools wise up. You know, I've always heard there are no atheists in foxholes. And sadly, too many people, they put off following God and serving God and living for God. They put it off until it gets way too late in their life to make any changes. Now they're living in the consequences of their sin. And then we turn to God. I'm not saying that God will not hear you. He will hear if we repent. But here he's not talking about people who repent. He's talking about people who have rebelled against God all day, all their whole life, and now all of a sudden they're like that atheist in the foxhole. "Lord, if there is a Lord, save me." And we read this, "But I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies." Friend, that's just another way of saying we reap what we sow. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. "God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." In Proverbs 1 and verse 20 or 32, "For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Friend, you've got a choice. Are you going to serve God or not? Are you going to make wise decisions or not? Well, you've got a choice to make right now, today. Are you going to choose this day to serve the Lord? We've all made bad decisions. We've all messed up in our life. But what we need to do is turn and serve the Lord starting today. Now, we may have the physical consequences continually present in our life because of our past sin. But listen, we need to turn and serve the Lord. Let's don't continue down the wrong road. What about eternity? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart," Jesus said. "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." You've got a choice. You've got a choice. John 8 and verse 24, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You've got a choice. Are you going to submit to the teaching of the Lord today, friend? If you're here and you're lost, you're outside of fellowship with God, you need to submit to Him with all of your heart and obey His Word, be reconciled to God, and serve Him in faith. And then you are guaranteed a home with Him forever and ever. It's your choice. Won't you choose wisely as together we stand and sing.